Okay, if you have your Bibles, let's go to Colossians, the New Testament epistle from Paul to the Colossian church, chapter 1 this evening. Colossians chapter 1. We'll begin tonight in verse 20. Paul's speaking to the church here, and he said, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet has he now reconciled." Paul's making it very clear. He's talking to this group of believers, this church, and he's saying that, just so you know, remember what you've come from. You and I, who were alienated from God at one time, we've now been reconciled through the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. "In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and being not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." I love what he said in verse 23 here. Look at that. The biggest word here is if. If you and I, if every believer continue in the faith, then what happens? God can present us to himself holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Amen. But we have a responsibility tonight to follow the Lord Jesus Christ according to the faith. Amen. And we've been ministering on that the last few Sundays, and that's a theme that is still in my spirit. Tonight's teaching, just to kind of refresh a little bit where I feel the Lord wants us to go as believers, as individuals, as a church, we're going to call this teaching tonight, Faith in the Faith. Faith in the Faith. If you can have faith in the faith, which is Jesus Christ and Him crucified for you, I'm telling you what, hang on. Hold on, there's some great things coming your way, because God will start manifesting His grace in your life in an uninterrupted flow, and great things can go on and happen. I'm here to say, faith in the faith is where it's at. Amen? So tonight, faith in the faith. Let's go before the Lord. Father, again in the name of the Lord Jesus, we're so thankful, though, for those that have gathered in your name. We're thankful for our live stream audience, and we're thankful for all that gather in your name, Father. We're asking tonight for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Fill this house with your glory. Fill our inner man with your presence tonight. And Lord, I pray, Lord, even bless the live stream audience, wherever this DVD or CD goes, let it be touched by God. And Father, give us strength tonight. And for those that are fighting illness and the different things with the weather change, Lord God, just give us all strength here tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Praise the Lord. We've been trying to really reinforce this whole concept of this thing called the faith. We've been preaching this for years, Jesus and Him crucified, the power of the blood, the cross. But I'm still concerned that as a church and as a pastor, seeing the body of Christ at large, are we really grabbing hold of this thing called the faith on a personal level? Has the light bulb in your soul, in your spirit, went on? Has it flashed and said, I get it, I get it. I understand this thing called the faith. I'm understanding more and more this thing called the blood, Jesus and Him crucified for me. You see, because when that light bulb goes on and the revelation of the cross becomes a reality in our heart and life, it will change you as radically as your salvation experience. Oh, you're quiet here tonight, amen? I'm here to say that when the light bulb in your soul goes on and I start comprehending this thing called the faith, what Jesus died to bring my way and to do for me, that if I can maintain faith in the faith and believe upon what has been provided through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross for my behalf, God has promised the Holy Spirit and an uninterrupted flow of grace on a daily basis that never ends. It can be perpetual around the clock. God's grace, His goodness, His touch, His hand upon the undeserving, because we're believing in what God has provided. Amen? And that's what I love about having faith in the faith. It takes it out of my hands. It takes it out of your hands. We had shared in prayer tonight a certain situation, and a brother in the Lord here had shared with his concern with his children that are away from the Lord. And he said it took a while, but he's been able to release those kids into the hands of God. And he said since he's been able to release it to the Lord, he said all havoc has been going on in those kids' life. But, you know, it's a picture story that shows us when you're in the faith and you're able to release the things that you care the most about into the hand of God, that by faith in that finished work, somehow I enter rest. And if I can just rest because I've given it to God, amen, then somehow God goes to work. It's almost like he turbocharges his work in that situation. And sometimes us watching from the outside looking in, it looks like things are getting a lot worse, and sometimes they are for them. But God is shaking the tree. He's shaking everything that can be shaken there. He is tearing down, pulling down, and rooting out so he can replant and build. Look at your salvation experience. Did you come to Christ and everything is going your way? Did you really come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Were you born again when you were in denominationalism? Most of us come from some kind of religious background. We thought we were right with God because that's what the preacher told us. That's what that whole work and movement tells us. If we went through the ritual, did what they said do, we had a mental assent to the things of God. We did have a faith, at least in God and Jesus Christ, and you know, but it wasn't a saving faith. And I go on to say it this way, unless you've been born again, then you have saving faith. But until you're born again, it's a religious thing. Amen? It's a concept of Christianity. It's a philosophy of Christianity. And boy, it's Russian roulette if that person really is going to make it to be with the Lord or not. We have to leave that in God's hands. But when I see Jesus telling a religious man who was one of the Sanhedrin, who was one of the leaders of Israel, that Nicodemus, you must be born again. Why would he tell them that if his so-called pseudo faith in the system of Judaism wasn't good enough? Jesus wouldn't have told the man, you need to be born again. It's a nice way of saying you need to get saved. You need to give your heart and life to me, Jesus Christ, if Christ was talking to Nicodemus, amen. So we must be born again, amen. And that's when the faith really kicks in, because you're starting to believe upon what God has provided for you and I, amen. And what I want to see this 2016, I want to see Promised Land. And those that are listening in and those that are part of this work in whatever way, that they start getting an understanding that if I can just believe upon and put my faith in what Jesus Christ has provided for me on the cross, then God has promised that I'll have the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of His Word, and an uninterrupted flow of the true grace of God. Amen. The true grace of God, which deals heavily with our imperfections, our iniquities, our sin habits. Listen, it wasn't until I came to an understanding of the cross that I began to really truly see my daily need for the righteousness and the provision of God through Jesus Christ. It wasn't until I began to see that finished work, that it's all an imputed thing, that God Himself is the one who has provided our righteousness. Our righteousness comes short of the glory of God. And so God Himself, through Christ, provided it and made it available to anybody whosoever will come unto Him, put faith in Jesus Christ as God is drawing that heart in life. If they will just believe on the Son of God, then a new heart and a new spirit will God give unto them, and God brings them into the family of God, and then God goes to work to develop that life into the very image of Christ. And that's an ongoing thing for the rest of our life. Amen? Do you realize we've been preaching this cross message, I don't know, 10, 12 years, and we're getting a better handle on the heart of what Paul was teaching, because the cross message is the story of the Bible. The cross message is the heart of what the Apostle Paul taught as part of the new covenant. Amen? And the cross is basically God's provision for unrighteous man.
that man could be made perfect in the eyes of God, who is perfect and holy himself. God cannot allow sin into heaven. He cannot allow corruption into heaven. You and I and our shortcomings are disqualified from heaven unless God provides the wedding garment. Amen? Nobody's getting into heaven without the garment. And the garment is the righteousness provided by Jesus Christ. Amen? And so the only way we attain that garment is that we have to have faith in this thing called the faith. Amen? Hallelujah. And we have to understand that. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about what God provided through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? And all God wants of you and I is just like Abraham of old, to hear it and believe it. Amen? And when we believe in our hearts, something clicks, something goes off, something happens within our heart and our spirit. Not only are we birthed into the kingdom of God, but we begin to understand how to walk with God and how to live for God by the power of His grace and mercy. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank God. When I get up in the morning and I realize how weak I am, when I feel a million miles from the Lord at times, you can feel that if you go by feelings. I mean, Satan's always in there trying to discount your experience in Christ, to make you feel you're unworthy, you're not good enough. People out there will belittle you and speak against you when they don't even know your heart. You know what I'm saying? They just because they might see on a down day, you know, we can't evaluate the whole tree by that. Amen? Over time, there should be fruit coming out of our life. Amen? And that fruit is fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruit of trying to be a nice person when in your heart you're an ugly person. Amen? It's functioning in the new heart that has been given you in Jesus Christ. Imperfections and all. Stumblings and all. Though a just man falls seven times, God says He'll get him up again. Amen? We preached last Sunday, Thou shalt quicken me again and bring me up from the depths of the earth, and You will increase my greatness, Lord. Amen? And You'll comfort me on every side. Amen? So think about that. Faith in the faith provides everything you and I need as pertaining unto life and godliness. Everything we need. You know, we go as far as to say that everything God hath provided for you in Jesus Christ has been dealt with before the foundation of the world. This whole thing, this concept of the faith, was originated in the mind of the Godhead prior to God creating the earth. Amen? So this thing called the faith isn't something new. It's not only 2,000 years old. This began before God created the worlds. God knew that He would interject a new free will moral agent into His creation. Amen? And He created man, whom He loved, but man failed the test. His time of probation, man blew it. He went a different direction. Man ran off with another lover, said, I'm going a different direction. But now God has already provided for his failure. And that's where we see God in the garden, slaying two animals, pulling the skins off of them, and covering up the nakedness of Adam and Eve, his wife. Amen? God was showing man right from the get-go that this thing called salvation, redemption, this thing called imputed righteousness is something that I will provide for my people, for the human race. I will make the provision. Amen? Adam and Eve, the best they could do was cover themselves with a few fig leaves. And that's what religion does. Religion tries to cover up what man really is with a few good do's and don'ts, with a little bit of religious ritual. Try this, try that, be nice, try not to be this, try not to be that. You know, get out and do a few good works, you know, and go help the poor and do all this other stuff. And man thinks that somehow that gains him access to God because in himself he thinks is good. You know what the sin of the modern church is? It was the sin that hung Christ on that cross. It is the sin of self-righteousness. And it's the hardest sin to see. It is the most difficult sin to see. Because those stooped in self-righteousness are functioning on the inertia of their goodness in their mind. I'm going to say it, let me just be a little comical with it. Most people stooped in self-righteousness have this personal concept. They're a legend in their own mind. And you write that down and you see if I'm not telling the truth. Most people in self-righteousness, they're a legend in their own mind. Life revolves around me, myself, and I. I'm here, I'm the one, it's all about me. You know, I'm better than you. See, when you come to the cross, you start to confess from your heart and you start seeing it. Like Paul, oh wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, I need him. I need his grace. I need him working in my life. You know, so I can't judge you. See, because I see the struggle and the work he's doing in me and has to do in me. See, the message of the cross, faith in the faith, will strip us of that personal judgmentalism towards others that in our mind we don't think they've arrived. When Paul said all along, God is able to make that weaker brother stand. Amen? But understand this, the good work he began in us, he's the one performing that work. He's at work in us. And if we have a brother or sister in the Lord, we understand, listen, it doesn't mean we put up with everything. Paul still said to Timothy, when you preach, when you're pastoring, there are still times to rebuke, to set things in order, with all long-suffering and doctrine. There are times you got to set the house in order. There are times that things have to be put in order. Amen? And times you have to deal with some sin issues. But God is still working in that. Look at the Corinthian church. There was fornication, there was adultery, it was fornication, it wasn't even mentioned in the Gentiles. I mean, there was some horrible things going on. But God was working in those people. And Paul didn't leave them there. Paul reproved them. Paul brought the word to them. And he brought out how Israel, because of that lifestyle in this thing called the grace of God, was doing things they shouldn't have done. And 23,000 died in that wilderness, Paul said. He took them back to that overthrow. He said their carcasses bleached in the sun because they had sin and they wouldn't repent, see. And grace, you know, some people say, is grace this greasy grace? You know, we get criticized for the message of the cross saying, well, it's all about grace, so sin don't matter, sin don't matter. No, sin does matter. Amen. Sin does matter. It matters in this respect. If I sin, God still loves me. But God will make sure that my backslidings correct me. It's called good old-fashioned consequences. If I've transgressed, if I've not made things right with God, if I'm persisting in a way that displeases or is contradicting God's word of his standard of righteousness, then God will initiate some chastening. And that chastening comes in the form of God will allow certain consequences to come into my life for decisions I'm making. I'll give you a simple example. Let's say I struggle with nicotine and I have a smoking habit. God loves me in spite of it. God will deal with me. And in my heart and spirit, I better overcome it because it one day that will take me out. It's a poor example. It's not good for my body. It, you know, we can understand all the downside about the nicotine habit. But God still loves that person that's struggling with smoking. As long as that person is trying by the faith, they want it out of their life and they want to overcome it. God will move heaven and earth. He will be long-suffering and patient with that individual until God brings them forth through to victory. Amen? It's the ones that think that because of grace, I can just do this and it's not a big deal. It's me, myself, and I, my body, my thing, and it don't matter. I don't have to repent of it. I don't have to try to get over. Oh, if God wants it out of my life, he's just going to touch me with his magic wand. One day, it's just going to be gone. No, 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 no. That's what Paul was saying in our text tonight. If you continue in the faith. If you continue in the faith. If I'm continuing in the faith, then there's a conviction in my heart and spirit that certain behavior does not please the Lord, and I have to be vocal with the Lord about that behavior and agree with God that it's not right, but that I need his help so desperately to overcome. And God will make sure grace keeps coming into my spirit, my heart, until one day that thing is broke in my life and I begin to see the victory and it's gone. Amen? You see, this is why the faith is so important. This is why you and I need faith in the faith. This is why. There's things in our heart. Listen, I like what Brother Larson says. You know, we are so messed up because we're not like God. We're not like Jesus Christ. But that's the work of God to make us like him. Amen. So that's a process. Amen. And it begins with the new heart and the new spirit. As I'm born again, then God does a work in me, begins a new work in me. But He wants me to agree with Him that if I will keep my faith in what Jesus Christ has done as the source of all the blessings I receive from God, and realize that through that shed blood, that work on the cross is to be my object of faith, then I'm having biblically faith in the faith. The one faith, the one that originated in the mind of the Godhead prior to God forming the world and before Adam was even on the earth to transgress against God, and God made provision. Those animals that were slew, that's all a type of the cross. That's all a picture of the coming Redeemer, who the innocent for the guilty. And it showed you that God had such love for the guilty that He was willing to sacrifice the innocent that they could be covered and made in right standing with Himself. See, God had to provide that. God had to provide that righteousness. It's an imputed righteousness. Talking with a man that was probably 30 years in the Lord, we were talking and he was in a struggle. And I talked to him about the importance of imputed righteousness, and he looked at me funny. "What's that?" he said. He sat in a Pentecostal full gospel church for almost 30 years and never heard the term imputed righteousness. See? And I had explained that to him. And you could just see. When he got a hold of that, it was like, "Wow, are you kidding? I've been taught all my life that I got to measure up, that God can bless me, use me, touch me, and love me. He's been taught that I got to earn my way into the favor and into the love of God through what I do, through my attendance, through my trying to do the right thing all the time." And that's reinforced. You know, that's why many in the full gospel circles, especially old line Pentecostalism, if we're not careful, you know, this thing called grace is an enemy to them because they mock the grace of God. But then we've seen the others that have taken the grace of God into license. And that's what I was trying to deal with a few minutes ago. Grace does not cover our license. Amen. That will bring the chastening of God in our life in some fashion, some way, some form. Correct? Because God loves us. And it's never to condemn us. It's because God loves us, and that has to go because it's destroying us. Right? So God ain't on this crusade to rub our nose in our manure like you would your dog trying to potty train the thing, you know. No, but God will allow those consequences to come. Amen. But grace is a beautiful thing. Grace is the most beautiful thing available from the Godhead outside of Jesus Christ and His love for you. Grace is that unmerited favor by which He works with you and in you on a daily basis, even on days when you and I, God is a million miles from our thoughts, or the burden of the day is on us and we're not properly resting in the faith and we're struggling. Grace is that continuous power from God, that undeserved help, where He's always trying to woo us back to Himself, that we may depend on Him, that His grace may accomplish for us what we could never get done in ourselves on our behalf. See, amen. Oh, everything comes to us on the platform of grace. But God requires that we continue in this thing called the faith. So it's called faith in the faith. Is your faith tonight in the faith? Paul said it this way: examine ye yourself to see whether you be in the faith. He's talking to the church. He's not talking to the heathen out there. He's not preaching to the drunks in the street. He's going through the church and he's saying, examine ye yourselves. Are you in the faith? He didn't say in faith, because everybody in their mind has faith. Faith in something. He said the faith. The faith. What is the faith, Paul? Jesus and His shed blood and what He won there on your behalf.
You must exhibit faith in the source, Jesus Christ, and have a personal relationship with Him. But secondarily, in that same faith in Christ, it needs to move into the object of your faith, which is the cross, the blood, where it was won and done. Where it was won and done. Amen? Because that is where you will find mercy. That is where you will find help, grace to help in time of your need. Amen? And your need isn't always when it seems like everything is crashing in on you. It's grace when you realize there are things in your character, your spirit, and you're wrestling with, oh God, how could you even love me, much less work in me and help me? It's when you have those moments when you just realize that I just need Him. I need Him to touch me. I just need Him. Amen. And you know, that's what I've really been struggling with in the body of Christ. Are we really walking with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He really your passion? Is He my passion? Do I really love Him? Does it show up in my demeanor? Okay, in my character? Have I been broken before Him? Have I been humbled by Him? See, oh, there's days, friend, don't get me wrong. There are days when you wonder, man, am I even saved? Because sometimes you read all the patriarchs of old, and every so often you'll come across the page, and David did. And Noah was drunk. And you know what? It goes on and on. Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. See, David, you're the man. You see, if God would write your story, if He would write my story, put it in the Bible, God wouldn't spare nothing. But that others might see that God still loved these men. God never gave up on those men. God never kicked them to the curb and kicked them out of the work of God because of their shortcomings. Boy, is He merciful. But how? I want to word this right. We're talking faith in the faith, but how do we measure the true love and grace of God? What does it look like? See, you know, the Bible says we're a spectacle unto angels. Why are we a spectacle unto angels? Angels are just bewildered that God would even mess with us, much less love us and redeem us. Come on. Come on. We wonder the same thing with each other. Amen. You know? But it shows you, how do you know what love looks like until it is really shown where it's not deserved? I'm talking the love of God. Now, men will demand you love them when they're being unlovable to you. And they'll slap you aside the head that you're coming short not loving them because their love is selfish. And they're trying to pull out of a human being what only God can give them. Now, God sheds His love in you and I by His Holy Spirit, and there are certain times that God will give you and I an exceptional love and patience with certain people, amen, that God has put you into their life. But God puts that in your heart to be patient with them. When that patience wears off, then God is lifting that out of that human heart, because now God can raise up somebody else to step into that. See what I'm saying? Or God can put it back in your heart again when it's needed. You know, they tell us in Christian circles, they say the divorce rate in the church is the same as what it is in the world, almost about 50%. But it's a failure of love when it really comes down to it, for the most part. isn't it? And nobody's condemned here. But it's really a breakdown in love, in forbearance and for patience. But sometimes people's behavior, it does demand judgment. That if somebody doesn't, you know, you can't have somebody sleeping around on you and you just say, oh, that's okay, that's okay, that's okay. I'm going to love you anyway. You know, No. There, it comes time where that love demands correction. Amen. Love demands correction at times. The grace of God will demand correction at times. But there are times where God will give that person an unending love for whatever that God is dealing with that person to be that light and that witness. I mean, you see this in the martyrs. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs. There are some that when they were in their last breath being burned at the stake, they pronounced judgment on the King of England or something. But there were other ones that when they were being tortured, they loved their executioner, and that executioner gave his heart to Christ because he couldn't believe. That's a God thing. Amen. So there are times God puts it in our heart to love and be graceful to our enemy. But then there are other times when God says that's enough. Amen. Because we're human. And we're not eternal as far as we have a lifespan. God doesn't want us to throw our life away on unfertile field. That's why Paul would say, anybody after the second or third correction or admonition, if they're not changing and getting their heart right, he said, reject them. He said, just don't deal with them no more. Why is he telling us and telling the body of Christ to do that? Because there are some people that are just unworkable and they're going to waste your time. They're going to burn you out and they're going to eat you up and spit you out. Amen. So give them to God. Let God deal with them. That's God's problem. Amen. Meanwhile, you and I are to maintain faith in the faith. We're to constantly trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood. And we are always to look to Him for everything we need. Amen? Grace and mercy to help in time of need. And faith in the faith will pry my fingers off of things I'm holding dear in my life and my sources of idolatry and sources of things that I'm hanging on to for dear life because that was my fulfillment for so long. And sometimes we don't let go of things easy. Amen. And God pries our fingers off of certain things. I had to find that out with my own children. Somebody else here tonight has had to learn that. It took a while for God to pry our fingers off of certain things. But that's a work of God. But when He does, it's because He wants to take that. And because of my faith in the faith, God says, now watch what I can do. Amen. You've toiled all night. Now watch what I can do. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you got good things coming this year. You've got some really good things coming from God this year. But what must I do, Pastor? You must maintain faith in this thing called the faith. Jesus and Him crucified for you. Amen? Hallelujah.